in his name. I'm so grateful that the house is full of children of God. But children of God, have you ever fallen down in your spiritual race? Anybody? Just me? Ever fallen down? Go ahead. I'm going to get ready to raise them up again. Has anybody in here, any of you children of God, been tripped up by the devil? Any of you children of God ever given in to sinful temptation? Man, that one hurts. Well, I want to tell you something right out of the gate. You're not a failure because you fall. You fail only if you don't get back up. And if you get back up once more than you fall, then you're a success. Amen. And I want you to know that as children of God. Friend, do you realize that at the Paris Olympic Games, 90% of the best athletes in the whole world did not win a medal? 90%. Just like them, many of us try and we fail. Maybe our job is not what we hoped it would be. Maybe things ain't working out like we hoped they might. Maybe a marriage that began in hope seems to be ending in tears. Perhaps your children are struggling despite your best hopes for them. Politicians, they'll disappoint you every time. Friends may let you down some of the time. It just seems like there's this sense of failure that's never far away from our lives. But here's the great thing about the Bible. The Bible records a whole bunch of failures. The Bible, friend, is about real people. The Bible records life as it really is. Somebody say amen. When I read the Bible, it reminds me that God gets me. He understands just how wretched I can be. He understands just how much of a failure that I can be. Now, some biblical failures are only remembered because in the end they succeeded. But listen to this. Before they succeeded, they failed. Every one of us is going to go through failure. And today, we're going to see just one such failure in the story of Peter's fall. You see, Jesus predicted that Peter would fail by denying that he even knew him, not once, but three times. If you'll go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, I'm going to begin in verse 33. And one thing I like about the book of Luke is that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And so everything that he wrote, he kind of wrote from a little bit of an analytical point of view. And for some reason, that just kind of gives me a lot more respect for him. I appreciate Dr. Luke. Anyway, in verse 31 of Luke chapter 22, Luke writes, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But," biggest three-letter word in the Bible, "but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Friends, shortly after Jesus spoke these words, he is betrayed by another disciple named Judas. He is arrested then in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in verse 54 of the same chapter, we read, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But, there's that three-letter word again, but Peter followed at a distance. Can I tell you this morning that perhaps the most significant source of our failure is following Jesus at a distance? So Jesus has been arrested. He's been hauled off to the high priest. And Peter follows at a distance. And he watches in the courtyard of the high priest. He warms himself by the fire where the servants of the high priests are sitting. Those people that hated Jesus were the ones that Peter was snuggling up to. But let's not get too hard on Simon Peter, because the story, the historical account, I was telling our life group this morning that we need to stop using the word story when we're talking about the Bible, because a lot of people think, well, if it's a story, then it's probably not real. So we need to start telling people what it really is. It's a historical account, right? In this historical account of the arrest of Jesus, it also reveals that Peter is a man of great courage. Think about it. In verse 50, when the authorities come to haul off Jesus, it was Peter alone who grabbed a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. He alone was the one that did that. Friend, can I tell you, I truly believe with all of my heart that Peter would have died for Jesus at that moment. But then we're told as Jesus was arrested, he followed at a distance. So the question is not would you die for Jesus, but are you willing to live for Jesus? Peter chose the latter. He followed at a distance. But even that had to take some courage. Think about it. To be fair, Peter was not the only disciple that took off. He was not the only disciple to keep his distance from Jesus. In Matthew 26 and verse 56, the Bible says, then all the disciples forsook him. All the disciples fled from him. Every single one of those disciples that knew Jesus ran away and watched from a distance. Peter could have run away and hid. He could have tried to save his own skin. But Peter doesn't do that. He goes after Jesus. Yes, at a distance, but at least he's still there. And he also manages to worm his way in to the high priest's courtyard to get a little bit closer to Jesus. And in verse 55, we read, now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Peter was sitting with the enemy. But even that took courage. Because can I tell you, sitting in the high priest's courtyard was probably the most dangerous place Peter could have been. The high priest was a deceitful man named Caiaphas. And Caiaphas had all his soldiers in the courtyard. All of his servants were in the courtyard. And Peter could have easily been identified, but yet still there. So it was amazing that he's there at all. But it's even more amazing that that he stayed even after that servant girl identified him and called him out. In verse 56 and 57, we read the historical account of Peter's first denial. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him. Can you see the girl? Wait a minute. I know him. Looking intently at Peter and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I don't know him. Peter's answer in the original language of the New Testament kind of goes like this. Woman, there ain't no way I know him. That's the Anderson version. Amen. But notice in verse 57 that Peter denies him. Peter didn't deny the servant girl. Peter denied his Lord. And sometime later, another man repeats the charge there in verse 58. Then after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. So first, Peter denies even knowing Jesus at all. Then Peter denies even being one of his followers. But then the final denial happens. It follows about an hour later, and in verse 59, the Bible says, then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, Matthew tells us that it was Peter's accent that got him caught. It was Peter's accent that gave him away. You know, you don't have to spend too much time around some of us to realize that we ain't from New York City. Well, can I tell you, you wouldn't have to spend too much time around Peter to realize that he wasn't from Jerusalem. As he huddled around the fire in the high priest's courtyard, his accent became a liability because it linked him to his Lord. And in verse 60, Peter again denies any involvement with Jesus, saying, man, I don't know what you're saying. But let me tell you something that's encouraging about Peter's story. The encouraging thing about Peter's story is that Peter learns from his failure. Peter fails forward. And friend, that is what your message is all about today. Failing forward. You see, we as believers in Jesus Christ also fail forward when we first recognize that every one of us fail. I don't know why that there's comfort in that, but there's comfort in knowing that I ain't alone, that I'm surrounded with a bunch of sinners. Somebody say amen. There's two of you. Good deal. See, nobody's perfect. Every one of us fail. Every one of us sin. And we can face defeat realizing that just because we fail at one thing doesn't make us a total failure in everything. At the very moment of Peter's third denial, there in verse 60, the Bible reads, listen, then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You see why your Bible study is so important, friend? Because even when you blow it, even when you fail, you need to remember the word of the Lord. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Jesus' prediction that Peter would deny him three times has now come true. Earlier that same day, Peter, one of Jesus' first and trusted disciples, boastfully said this, according to Matthew 26, "Jesus, even if all of these here are made to stumble, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, before daybreak, y'all, you will deny me three times." And Peter went on to say, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. So Peter was just a hair overly confident. He was overconfident in his loyalty to Jesus. He was overconfident in his strength to stand against the attack. Oh, he'd never fail Jesus. You ever felt that way? "Jesus, I'll never fail you. I love you too much to fail you." But Peter failed. He failed to tell the truth. Peter failed to keep his promise. And Peter failed in his loyalty to Jesus. Peter basically just shriveled up and turned yellow. But have we ever done something similar to that? In our own spiritual lives, have we ever just shriveled up and denied the Lord? I mean, we start out well. We try to have the best of intentions. We're excited and we want to succeed for Jesus. We have this desire to be faithful disciples. And then we get distracted. Then, listen to me, y'all. Then we take our eyes off the prize and we start following at a distance. Then we begin to allow the wrong people to influence us in our lives. We make a bad decision or a few bad choices, and then we end up in failure. But when we fail forward, we recognize that we're not in this alone. We recognize that everyone fails. But failing forward also occurs when we remember that God's love and forgiveness does not depend on my success. Thank God for that, amen? No matter how you failed, no matter what kind of sin you've allowed in your life, the Savior who died for you, He still loves you. And He'll never stop. You see, Christianity, friend, is chock full of men and women who have failed. Some of them significantly. Some of them have failed the Lord Jesus. But many of them found new futures with Jesus. In verse 61, we have a single sentence of explosive power. "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now, in the original language of the New Testament, that look denotes a very intense looking. Some people say that I look at them when I'm preaching, but I swear I'm not. But it's an intense looking. Have any of you married men ever gotten the look? From time to time, Janet gives me the look. And I have to wonder, What kind of look is she giving me? Is it a look of disappointment? A look of sadness? A look of compassion? Oh, he can't help himself. Is it a look of understanding? Or is it a look of pity? Oh, my dear, poor husband. He can't help it. But I wonder, what kind of look did Jesus give Peter? What kind of look did he give him? We're not told in the Bible, but whatever look it was, one thing we know for sure, it caused Peter to break down. To break down after Jesus looked at him. He went out and he wept bitterly. You ever wept bitterly? But this look, I believe, was a look of love. It was Jesus looking at Peter and showing him that despite his denials, Jesus still loved him. Warren Wiersbe, the great commentator, says, it's to Peter's credit that all that the Lord had to do was look at him to bring him to the point of repentance. Jesus turned, and Jesus looked, and immediately Peter recognized what he had done. But listen very carefully. The look that Jesus gave to Peter would have meant nothing if Peter wasn't looking at Jesus. That's what caused him to weep so bitterly. And I believe that this was the turning point in Peter's whole life. That look. Because when Jesus looked at Peter, Peter remembered. He remembered the word of the Lord. He had failed to keep his eyes on the prize. And when he did, he failed Jesus. You see, Jesus knew that Peter would come back to him. Do you remember there in verse 32? Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when, not if, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Why do you think this is the turning point in Peter's life? Well, the remainder of verse 61 tells us that Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Failing forward is when we remember that God loves us even when we fail. Failing forward, it happens when we know that God's forgiveness doesn't depend on my success. It's all about what he did on the cross at Calvary. So when we fail forward, we recognize that everyone sins. We recognize that our success is not the precursor for God's love. But failing forward is also when we repeatedly learn and grow from our failures. If we fail, but we don't learn, then we're stuck. Every single one of us has, is now, or will at some point in the future fail. Sometimes we may even fail Jesus, which is different and more significant. And when we do, let me tell you who's going to be there. When you fail Jesus, here's who's going to be there. Satan. He's going to be right there to tell you how worthless you are when you fail. Satan's going to be there to tell you that you are finished because you're just a failure. And when you fail, the enemy will try to deceive you into thinking that your future is destroyed. Listen to me with all your heart and your open ears and mind. That is not God's message to me and you. Amen. That is not God's message to me and you. We must never use failure as an excuse for not getting our tails back up and getting back after it. It may be 1,000 times. It may be 10,000 times. It matters not. You got to get back up. Proverbs 24:16, the Bible says, though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he rises again. The implication is not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. 70 times 700. 70 times 7 million. Just keep on getting up. Everyone who fails needs to remember that, yeah, you may get knocked down, but you ain't got to stay down. Get your tail back up. Learn from that failure and move forward. Oliver Goldsmith said this. He said, our greatest glory is not in never failing. Our greatest glory is in the rising up each time we fall. Keep on keeping on, friends. Keep on rising. You may not be able to reclaim the loss. You may not be able to undo the damage of your failure. You may not be able to reverse the consequences of your failure. But you can make a new start, can't you? Learn from that failure. Get back up and move forward. And this time, you'll be a little bit wiser. This time, friend, you'll be a little bit more sensitive. This time, you'll be renewed more by the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll be more determined than ever to do right and avoid failure in the future. But friend, listen, the best part of Peter's sad story, the best part is that it doesn't end in verse 62. It doesn't end with Peter going out and weeping bitterly. No, there's more to Peter's story. He didn't have to live his life with that heavy burden of sorrow. He didn't have to live his life with that heavy burden of regret. No. Instead, Jesus restored Peter. Jesus used Peter mightily for the first churches and even today. And if you'll turn with me to John chapter 21, we'll find where Peter identified the restoration Jesus offered him. In John chapter 21, verse 15, John gives the historical account that when they had eaten breakfast, now what you need to know here is that this is the risen Lord Jesus. This is after he's risen from the grave, okay? And he's ministering and corresponding with his disciples. So when the risen Lord Jesus had eaten breakfast with his disciples, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Then Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. 3 times Peter denied Jesus, and 3 times he affirmed that he loved Jesus. And Jesus restored Peter and used him mightily. Friend, let me ask you a question. Are you living a victorious life in Christ? Or are you living in your failures of the past? Victory or failure? Which one are you living in? Parker and Flossie York were a retired couple looking forward to spending the best years of their life together. But soon after they retired, Flossie came down with Alzheimer's disease. And before long, Flossie became completely confused. Nothing Flossie said made sense, and Mr. York had to feed her, bathe her, and pretty much help her with everything. One day, they were sitting in the living room, and Flossie miraculously slipped out of her disease for a moment and looked at Mr. York and said, "Do you still want me?" "Do you still want me?" Mr. York said it broke his heart. And he ran to her and he said, "Of course, darling. It's been the greatest privilege of my life caring for you." And then she just smiled. And as quickly as she came out of her disease, she slipped right back in. I think sometimes I feel that way when I fail God. "Do you still want me?" Sometimes I'm almost embarrassed to go back to Him yet again, to ask for forgiveness and cleansing from that same old sin again. And of course, the devil causes me to look toward heaven and say, "God, do you still want me?" I got good news for you today. God wants you. God wants us, and He's there all the time, waiting patiently, telling us that He wants us. He's in control, and He can make lemonade out of lemons like me and you. Hallelujah for that, right? And I want to tell you that when you fail, it's God's desire that you release your failures and fail forward. Release those failures of the past. You can't do nothing about them anyway. Release them to the past and fail forward. Christian, are you struggling with failure? Are you struggling with failure in your spiritual life? If you are, take a lesson from Peter. Peter recognized that everybody fails. He remembered that God's love is not dependent on his success. And Peter repeatedly learned to grow and to learn from his failures. But when the rubber hit the road, he just released his failures to the past and decided that he's moving forward. Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister of Great Britain, once said, "Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Pretty smart guy. My friend, what would you attempt to do for the glory of God if you knew you could not fail? What would you try for the glory of God if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you wouldn't fail? You need to try it anyway. Try it anyway. Because you're not a failure because you fall. You fail only if you don't get back up and keep trying for the glory of God. And if you get back up once more than you fall, then you'll be a success for the glory of God. Friend, I know that like me, the challenges in our life are very real. Sometimes those challenges are excruciatingly painful. You got to ask yourself, though, is God burying you in that failure? Or is He planting you so that you'll grow out of that failure, blossom for the glory of God? Every one of us have a different spiritual journey. Every one of our journeys are different, but one thing is the same. We serve a God of second chances. If it weren't for that, none of us would have any hope. Are you ready to come to Jesus today? Are you ready to take hold of the second chance that Jesus has given you? Are you ready to fail forward, friend? Can I tell you that God is never honored more than when you get down off the bottom of that failure and say, that ain't keeping me down. I'm trying again. Help me, Lord. Let me pray for you. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your incredible love that does not depend on our success. Lord, I'm thankful that your forgiveness is not dependent on how well I do or how bad I don't do. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak to each one here. And if there's a decision to be made for the cause of Jesus Christ, if there's somebody that wants to come to Christ today, be saved from their sins, and have this ability to fail forward for the glory of God, Lord, I pray that you'd invite them to come. Lord, let's pray together. Let's hear what the Word of God says about how they can be redeemed from their failure, saved from their sin, and given a brand new start. Lord, thank you for loving us like that. And Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that great and mighty things are going to occur as a result of what you do in this decision time. We'll be swift to give you all the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said.
Amen. Let's all stand.